from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
As you know, this is the bonus show. This is the show that we put up to try to encourage people to become patrons, because once the month of March is over, this puppy is going behind closed doors.
Well, to be more specific, the second puppy. The first puppy you get to keep and play with, but if you love puppies so much that you want two puppies a week...
Who doesn't want two puppies? Imagine a genetically modified puppy that never ages, never goes to the bathroom. All it does is entertain you. That is what puppy we are. A highly stylized puppy.
Like the Meebo of podcast puppies.
The Meebo?
Isn't that the name? It's the name of that robot. It's like the Fido. It's like the Meebo. It's that little walking dog thing.
I don't know why anybody bought that thing. That thing was stupid.
You gotta push forward the advancement of robotics. Like, we can laugh about everything the Japanese are doing, but once we manage to make, like, a sentient brain type thing, it's gonna go in a Japanese fucking robot. It's that simple.
I know, I understand. I'm just saying, sort of like, commercially, it's a dumb thing to buy. I'm like, support it, keep going. I mean, you look at that, what's the name of that Honda one that walks?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Actually, you know what?
Cool.
I think that might be the Meebo, and I think the dog was called something else.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe that was the walking one. Anyways, what are you going to do with a walking robot? Now he can go down some stairs. Well, that's amazing. I can do that pretty easily myself. Let's just start off. I just want to actually mention a little bit about what we did last night. We went to go watch The Watchmen, and I thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about it, because there was one thing that I kept thinking about when I was watching this whole thing. It felt like Alan Moore wrote a story based on, well, what if superheroes existed and they were normal humans, but there was one superhero who was a fucking god? You know what I mean? Like, just... if you've ever read comic books, you know, sometimes you have, like, the Spider-Mans, the Wolverines, that kind of stuff. And then you have the Silver Surfers, the guys that are clearly out of everybody's leagues. Yeah, the Thors. And what's always...
The Supermen.
Yeah, the Supermen.
Now, before we continue, I just want to make sure. This is a no-spoilers show, right?
Yeah, no, this is no spoilers. Okay, this is no spoilers. No, but basically, I always thought that it was funny because in the Marvel Universe... These guys, like, you know, the super powerful ones, they often roll with the regular mortals, and they're fighting guys. Well, even though you're thinking, get the hell out of here. You can't even bench press 200 pounds, and you're hanging out with a god.
The best example of this would be all the time that they had Batman and Superman teaming up.
Oh,
I'm just like,
man,
what a waste of time.
You know what Batman and Superman team up is for? It's for Batman to take away the kryptonite when sort of like it comes out. I'm like, okay, Batman, if there's kryptonite... You put it in your bat shield casing, and then I'm going to do my thing.
And then bat throw it a bat way. And that's basically what Batman does when he hangs out with Superman.
Now, I wanted to get your thoughts on it, spoiler-free thoughts on The Watchmen. What did you think of the movie?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it.
Man, this is tough because you were like on Zack Snyder's dick,
yeah,
like, constantly.
No, it was a brilliant. It wasn't really a movie. It was a comic book adaptation. So as a comic book adaptation, it was fucking awesome. As a movie, it would have done better, kind of straying away from the comic book from time to time. But overall, I can't complain.
Yeah, it's difficult to complain because there are times you just like get away from the comic book mold. Comic book writing is the hokiest thing. You cannot write a movie, the dialogue, a long cartoon, you know, or comic book dialogue. Because I realized one thing. I'm like, in comic book dialogue, you talk in sort of short speak. You know, you're not going to have any pauses. You're not going to have commas. It's one sentence is literally four words.
And plus, every single issue, whenever they have to explain it, they have to re-explain things with that. You know, remember the old asterisk in the side?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. See issue 403 for more info. And you're like, I don't have 403, man. I don't know what's going on.
But that's the whole thing. They just kind of throw stuff in there to fill it in. And Rorschach, I think his name
Rorschach.
Was. Rorschach.
Rorschach.
He just had some of the worst comic book dialogue ever. But, you know,
it was pretty bad. It was directly from the comic book.
Turning back to concentrate a little bit more on the god being thing, I think they played that pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like the way that he's portrayed, you know, apathetic like a god would be. And I think that that's kind of like the interesting angle, because I always felt that the superheroes on say in Marvel, like Silver Surfer and stuff like that, they had way too much of a hard-on for puny mortals. You know, they didn't have to go through a struggle of trying to identify with creatures that are, you're just ants compared to you. I mean, you can have an ant farm and love ants,
and
but
probably
honestly,
angry, afraid ants who are probably willing to try and take you out from time to time again.
Yeah, and probably succeeding because these ants can be pretty smart and they shoot some kind of cosmic ray at you and all of a sudden they weaken you and you're like, what the fuck, dude? I defended you against Galactus and this is what you do to me? Not cool. Not cool.
The downsides of being a god, I suppose.
All right. If you don't remember the format, basically we have three basic topics that I'm talking about. I wanted to run through these topics because I kind of like these topics.
We can run through the topics, but you don't have to be like, now we will talk about topics. People understand how
things work. I'm refreshing everybody who is still tuning into these bonus shows how it works.
See the last good episode, Atheist, and do that. It's like that asterisk there. We're telling him, check out two episodes ago.
Yeah, but I just mentioned I hate that damn asterisk. Things. It's nice to have a little refresher.
Well, you're doing
refresher.
It right now.
I'm giving them that refresher. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is This Week in Bad Science. And this week comes from the news comes from Turkey, where an editor for the state-run science it's a magazine, was fired for putting a story about Charles Darwin's 200th birthday. Apparently, there is a lot going on in Turkey in terms of eliminating the teaching of evolution on every level. And this is just one example of it. So it's pretty crazy to me that somebody would be fired at a science paper for publishing something about Charles Darwin. It is amazing that this kind of thing is happening. You know what I mean? A lot of people don't know this. I mean, Turkey's probably one of the last secular Islamic states. And that's saying a lot because eventually that too will erode. I don't know if people are aware of that.
So you're saying that it's kind of sliding backwards into, could you compare it to the same thing that kind of happened with the states? How it just seems like over the past 10 years or so, the religious right has really kind of stepped in and they're trying to drag everything back into, pull everything back into kind of a religious stance.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because there seemed like there was a ceasefire going on for a while where the religious people basically were saying, well, okay, the government does this and that, and we're just going to stay out of it. But now it really feels like religions have politicized themselves, and they're pushing all these agendas, and they're basically trying to set a secular agenda for the country. So is this kind of what's going on?
You mean a
non-secular?
Yeah. You're right. Here's basically what Turkey was forced under, the strength of its founder to be secular. You have to understand that there's kind of like the political parties there run along the lines of you're either very secular and you keep your religion private, and there's a strong contingent of the people that feel like that, and there are obviously these political parties that are based on the clerics and so on and so forth. And obviously, one political side, fights for the other. It's not like good against evil. It's just different political agendas.
Mm-hmm. And one leads to evil.
Well, one leads to some really scary backwards shit. I've always found that it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. I mean, once you bring in these Ayatollah-like characters, your country just becomes very, very messed up.
Well, is it fair to say that we've already given religion a chance to run countries and they failed? Dark ages and everything?
Yeah, you know what? It's a fair assessment. I mean, the whole Enlightenment movement was saying, let's take religion out of politics, and that's really the only reason why people were able to do anything good, is that because finally, you couldn't jail someone or torture them to death or kill them for saying heretical things that contradicted with that big old Bible.
But are we being kind of unfair here and saying, imagine if, say, democracy or capitalism came into power back in the Dark Ages as opposed to, say, like a strong religious situation. Now, basically what I'm asking is, the way that things were run in the Middle Ages obviously wouldn't be the way that they were run now with religious people in power, so are we really just giving them a bad rap for what happened in the Dark Ages, which may or may not have happened regardless of who was in power?
Well, you want a classic example? Look at this province that you live in. Until the 1960s, it was still sort of like you know, religious education that had, this is that Quebec, had control.
This is Quebec.
Yeah, this is Quebec. About. Basically, in the 1960s, there was a quiet revolution where Quebec itself sort of threw off the shackles of theocracy because it was basically a theocratic government. All right, like you gave all the power to the church. And it was a really shitty fucking time for most Canadians. I mean, French Canadians were poorer than sort of like the average Canadians. They had less education, so on and so forth. And it was all because of the church. I mean, their mandate was teach along, you know, doctrinal lines. And that's exactly the problem, because doctrinal lines are very freaking narrow. And as the world around you starts to evolve and change, your reaction is to suddenly become, you know, very closed off. You're like, we have to reject all of these things. I mean, back in the old days, the rejection was, it was easy because you had control over almost all the environment. People were really that educated and there was no access to information, so you didn't have to worry. But now my concern is that anytime a theocracy comes back, they have to put so much pressure on people to basically bring them back to a Stone Age mentality or Bronze Age mentality, that all of a sudden sort of like it conflicts with our modern moral values of saying, you know, people should have a right to investigate, should have a right to criticize. And how can you do that in theocracy? You can't. I mean, you can criticize a politician, but are you criticizing the clergy? I mean, look how that worked out for all those, you know, Roman Catholic priests who were molesting kids. I mean, they just... nothing was done. None of these bastards ended up in jail. They were just being transferred from place to place. And why? Because the clergy was convincing families not to freaking prosecute these people. And that was it. Apparently that was good enough. Justice was done in their eyes. And like, that's the kind of sick and twisted influence that religion can have. And that's like the thing that's so troubling about a place like Turkey, you know? Like, they want to be part of the European Union, and yet they want to be a theocracy at the same time. There's all these forces, internal conflict happening in Turkey. And it's really disturbing. I mean, the other funny thing is, do you know who the superstar, intellectual superstar in Turkey is? It's some fucking moron named, I think we talked about him. What's his name? Something Oktar. Adnan Oktar. He's not a doctor. A doctor in the kind of sense that, you know, you buy a diploma and you're a doctor. I mean, this guy's a freaking idiot. He wrote this book called The Atlas of Creation, which is basically one of these picture books trying to explain away evolution, saying, well, this ancient fossil is really just a snake when it really is an eel. I'm like, congratulations, you don't even understand what a genus is or a phyla. I'm like, these aren't the same. Eels are fish, they're not reptiles, you damn moron. But it's just a book like that. He just, a thick book where he just decided, I'm going to declare things. You didn't see some of the videos that I put up? Hilarious. Where it's like, there is a revolution going on in Europe. No, there really isn't. There is only a revolution, quote unquote, going on in Turkey. Because you guys are all religiously backwards. Anyways, that kind of thing annoys me. Every time I read this, I'm like, I feel like we're taking a step back. I'm like, we are always taking a step forwards, but every once in a while, one country takes a giant step backwards.
Well, you know, there's always the pressures. These people want to pull things back over to their side, and they obviously think that a little bit more religion, in even for people who aren't religious, is probably a good thing. So...
well, you know, they definitely have an agenda. I mean, the scary thing about it...
here's my problem, though, is that they're always trying to force all the stupid shit down people's throats. It's like, yes, we understand you're against abortion, and yes, we understand you're against gays, but how about all of the good aspects of Christianity or being a Muslim, you know, that you could bring to the table instead to show people that you're not pricks, you know? Well, why are we always getting the shitty end of the stick as far as all of this? Because
as soon as you give them a bit of power, they go crazy. They go crazy. It's just in their nature. You know what? It's like if you think you were an arbiter of God, and then all of a sudden you're given a power over a billion people, how are you going to react? Are you going to be reasonable with your decisions? You're just going to believe everything that pops in your head. It's like you have a message that says, people should wear slacks. I have a message for you. Wear slacks. You know, like these guys think that they're literally in communication with God. I mean, what kind of crazy thoughts do you have randomly in your head? What if you thought you were divine? Like, that messes you up, bro. And everybody else is messed up as a consequence. Messed up because every time the Pope opens his fucking mouth, you know that it's going to be something horrible. You know he's going to just say something.
Like,
you know,
no condoms for Africa.
Yeah, it's like, oh, forget about them. You know, it's the seed can't be spilled on the ground. You know, just keep... getting AIDS.
What wasn't the whole racist thing that black people were... There was a religious story that explained black people. It was something along the lines...
Oh, you're thinking Cain and Abel Muslim.
Were where the brother that tried to kill the other brother actually turned into a black dude, and that's how basically black people became.
I do remember that there were some references to that in some religions, but I forget what it was. Mm. Like, I can't be specific about it because, you know, you have to remember at the time, Jews and Muslims, stuff like that, they're fairly dark skinned, so I don't think they would have started that.
Yeah, but I mean, just the North American attitude, like the evangelist kind of thing, where they were saying this is why black people are weaker than us, because we got all these things in here that said that this guy here basically turned into a black dude.
Well, Mormons have that attitude about Native Americans. They said that Native Americans were basically Jews that were punished with dark skin for killing off the more righteous group. What were they called again? I don't even remember. It doesn't even matter. Anyways, my point is basically like, yeah, you're right. These kinds of attitudes and these kinds of thoughts come out. I mean, sometimes it's not even dark-colored. You're just like, oh, you're a descendant of Cain. Mm. You know, like, that's your Canaanite. You know, that's what you are. You're evil. Mm. I mean, what the hell are you talking about, descendant of Cain? Never existed, moron. It's like, stop trying to pigeonhole me with your stupid stories. Anyways, all right, let's move on to the next portion, which is the further proof that religion is great, quote unquote, for kids. And this time, I talked to you about this before. It was the two teenage girls in Iran that were sentenced to death.
Wasn't our last story from Iran as well?
There's a lot of shit that goes down there. Yeah, yeah, it's a kind of a messed up place, actually.
But I hear that the people there aren't crazy at all. Like, that's the general.
Yeah,
thing.
I know. Every Iranian I've met has been fucking phenomenal.
Whenever you hear about Iran, it's like, yeah, the government is psycho and some crazy stuff goes on there. But I mean, as far as like you get onto the streets and you get into the markets, and everybody's just looking for a fucking Baywatch DVD.
Yep, absolutely. It's weird too, because that's the dichotomy of Iran. You have a very young population that makes up almost 90%, and they all love America. They're like, pro-America! But they also have a government that will lock you away or sentence you to death for committing, you know, homosexual acts and that kind of stuff. I mean, it's pretty serious over there.
This week, what was the genius move from the government there? What exactly is the institution doing?
Well, the big story, it's not from this week, because this has been going on for a while, but now it's starting to come out a lot. Amnesty International is kind of taking that as their little
pet project,
exactly. Trying to force the governor ran to at least remove the death sentence portion and just sort of like give him at least prison sentences.
Yeah, but you haven't explained the whole thing.
Right, okay. Basically, the explanation is this. Two women were assaulted by three men, and during that assault, one of the women had a knife. She stabbed one of the assailants, who then later died in hospital.
And these guys were trying to rape them,
that
right?
That is correct. They were trying to rape them. So she was basically defending herself. She had no real intent to kill him, but I mean, you pull out a knife, you're trying to defend yourself, there's a flurry going on, somebody's going to get a lung punctured or whatever, these things happen. The guy dies, and the two women who were 16 and 17 at the time were both sentenced to death, which is a pretty big deal also, considering the fact that not only are they women, but they're also minors. But over there, it seems to be no big deal. Hey, a man died! A man died, man! That can't go unpunished! A woman did it? Oh my goodness, no! She must be put to death.
And now, is this a small tribal whatever? Or is this actually like in the populated areas? Do you know anything more about it?
I do know that it was one of the major city areas. So this is not a rural thing. And this, they were trying to appeal to their Supreme Court. This is their Supreme Court here. This is not some.
This
crappy.
This is not some like fucking 80-year-old elder just being like,
No.
And it's like, we must listen to the wise man. It's like, back when he was like 10 years old, he killed and raped like hundreds of people from villages around.
I love these old crazy dudes that everybody's listening to.
I know, and he's only in charge because he's got a fucking gigantic treasure chest full of ears. And so it's like,
listen to this man, he's wise, he has a million ears.
Listen to him or he will take your ears.
That evil old guy. He looks like Senator Palpatine.
And because he's the oldest dude by like three times over, nobody even remembers that they only listen to him because he's evil.
Now, this is pretty much the biggest court.
Well, you know, you never know. Considering how our Supreme Court is stacked up, maybe their Supreme Court is also stacked up with evil old men.
Oh, I don't know. It's like that anywhere where you have a country that has a fundamental Muslim element. The court system is a fucking joke. I mean, just today, there was a big news article again. This is something closely related. In Afghanistan, where a 23-year-old journalist sentenced to death for writing about women's rights and claiming that some of the verses of the Quran should be reinterpreted. So now he was sentenced to death. This is Afghanistan. This is the country where we send Canadian soldiers to fucking die. You know, spending millions and millions of dollars into trying to set up a court for them. But it's full of corrupt guys that are really just funnies masquerading as moderates, waiting for us to leave so that they could put back up the Taliban flag. Afghanistan is a lost cause, man. It's a lost cause. You can't do anything over there. Their court system is so corrupt and evil to the core that it makes you want to throw up.
Well, the main problem with the whole situation is everybody goes in trying to fix it instead of going in with a clear objective. And you can't fix Afghanistan. You can't fix Iraq. You can't really even fix Iran. Things just have to kind of work themselves out over time until they get to a stable point. But no, going in there with troops and guns and everything else, it's a third element that no fucking country on the brink like that needs.
No. As soon as we come in, we become another reason for conflict to occur, and it just spills all over the place. And it's madhouse.
Because look at Pakistan. You want to look at the effect of America and Afghanistan messing around? Well, Pakistan is paying the price.
Yep. Their government could be destabilized simply because of American presence there is enough to incite, like, the crazy fundies, and get them more recruits. That's the last thing you need, more recruits from these guys. I mean, you have to understand that generally, I mean, we kind of look at it as saying, we got to go in there because all of these people are savages and blah, blah. That's the general attitude. Yeah. We got to go over there and civilize them. Well, I mean, get this. I mean, more Americans, 24% of Americans think that it's okay to bomb civilian targets, during war, compared to, say, only half of that for most Muslim countries. I mean, these individuals are people that are very familiar with death and of innocent people, and they hate it even more than Americans do. These are not immoral people. It's just that, you know, they are controlled by a very corrupt, theocratically motivated groups. And I don't know if they can break themselves out of that, but the last thing we need to do is throw a match that pool of gasoline, okay? And I don't want any more soldiers dying in a country that basically doesn't give a shit, you know? Like, your presence is worth nothing. Your death is worth nothing. If the only thing it does is secure a freaking pipeline that makes a bunch of companies rich, it sucks,
yeah, but
okay?
You got to understand, the last time we walked out of Afghanistan, it didn't take care. Here's the whole problem, is that if you don't take care of other countries, at least to a certain degree, you bring rise to these organizations that will occasionally lash out and fuck your shit up, basically. You know, it's the whole have and have not. So, well, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to just leave and allow these people to get back into control, sell their opium without any problems, raise the money to fund terrorism in the United States?
I really don't know what to do. The place is messed up. I mean, I can't talk of foreign policy, but I can tell you that whatever the hell it is we're doing, it's not working.
Well, you know, I would the statistic that you talked about was very interesting, because I'd be interested in the more hardcore statistic, which is how many people think that if push comes to shove, we should just level the whole place with nuclear bombs.
Oh, man, probably too many. Too many people I know would say that, and you're just like, damn, brother.
I just don't think people realize how many people live there. Like, just in that mountainous region between Pakistan and Afghanistan alone, there's like 4 million people. So it's like, if people are just
that,
like,
would
just
take at least two nukes.
Just bomb the whole thing, and it's like, you can't. Oh,
imagine if that's what they were saying about us. Like, whoa, man, you cannot set that precedence of saying, well, you're a problem, therefore we're just going to wipe you off the face of this earth. Mm. It's just a fucking scary thing. All right, let's move on to the next part, which is the my rant, and you can have a rant about this as well, because I'm sure you'll have something to say.
Yeah, I'm a pretty chill guy, you know me. You go ahead and rant, and I'll just clap.
Okay, well, my rant about today involves a bishop in Brazil who excommunicated a team of doctors that had performed an abortion on a 9-year-old girl. Now, basically, to get your head wrapped around the story, this little girl's been abused sexually by her stepfather since age 6, gets pregnant, and then all of a sudden, obviously, you need to perform an abortion. A 9-year-old girl giving birth is a death sentence, okay? You're not going to survive that. She's 9 years old. She's got a tiny frame, right? So, yeah.
Not to be the devil's advocate on that part, but they could C-section her, I think. But anyways, it is horrifically freaky. Anyways, I'm not trying to
it was
down
well, it was
that.
Also twins. So I mean, who knows?
Like,
yeah, I know. It's pretty messed up. And what is also much more messed up is the fact that the stepfather was not excommunicated. The only reason the little girl was not excommunicated was basically because she's a minor. And the Catholic Church has said, well, we don't excommunicate minors. You know, we'll only do that if you're an adult. And the bishop was quoted as saying, well, you know, rape is not as bad as abortion. That was his justification for not even bothering to excommunicate the
one is an assault and one is a murder.
I guess that's how they view
it.
But
they look at it.
It's not even an assault to them because, you know, you have to understand, in Brazil, there are 1 million women that get, you know, sort of like underground abortions, and a quarter of those, 250,000, have to go to hospital due to complications, you know, and a lot of them die. Now, nobody that I know goes to get a botched fucking abortion unless there's a really good reason for you not to have that kid, okay? I mean, it could be something as simple as, one, you can't afford it and it'll starve to death. Two, which is usually the reason where a lot of these women have gotten raped, and you need to get rid of this child immediately, you know? Like, who wants to raise the child of your rapist? Like, I don't even understand how anyone could think, well, it's a beautiful thing, you're making something beautiful out of that. I'm like, no, no, no. Don't set that relationship up like that. Like, oh my God, you've set it up so that this person is going to be unknowingly a potentially terrible parent just because you're like, wow, you remind me of that man who did that to me so long ago.
I just think that chasing down the acceptable and unacceptable reasons of abortion is definitely not any way you want to go. It's just very simple, is that abortions are there. Everybody's allowed to use them up to a certain point in the term, and that's just the way it is. And when you're saying that, oh, well, you know, people in Brazil should be allowed to get abortions because there is rape and there is, you know, this molestation stuff going on. And, you know, there's other situations where people will literally die. And I guess in Brazil that is very, very true. But to me, to say all of a sudden that these people have more of a right to abortions than people, say, in Canada who just don't want to be fucking pregnant, it's like, to me, it's a straight across the board. If you don't want to have a kid, you shouldn't fucking have to. End of story.
Yep. Not even just that. My rant, my fucking disgust has to do with the Catholic Church's attitude about rape in general. Of course they don't give a shit about it. They're like, well, you can go molest little girls, little boys, and we're just going to move you from parish to parish. They don't see that as wrong. I mean, one of the main reasons why they used to have the Inquisition was because, you know, lots of these priests and bishops and stuff like that, they loved performing these kinds of things. They would often sort of like rape and examine the women accused, you know, because they said, oh, the devil hides in her vagina. So they'd do all kinds of fucking things to it. I mean, the sickest shit you could ever imagine. And of course, they feel no pain doing that. Because A, it's a woman, and B, apparently it's a witch. So those two things combined, it's fucking, you know, you're free to do whatever the hell you want. It's like the rules of war. You know, apparently when you're a soldier, rape doesn't exist. You're in crazy mode, you can do whatever the fuck you want. It's a disturbing attitude when you think about it. I mean, like, I have, you know, a mother, I have sisters. I don't want anybody touching them and or thinking that rape is somehow okay. That this is just fine. I mean, Brazil is one of the most chauvinistic fucking societies, and it shows the degree of sexual assault that happens over there. It is insane. It's an attitude shift they seriously need to have. Like, we need to stop coddling them, saying, well, you know, could you please change your attitude, bruh? Like, seriously, change your attitude right now. Rape is not acceptable, okay, on any fucking degree. She says, no, get the fuck out of there. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Doing that to a human being is, for me, the ultimate sort of like destruction of all trust in other humans. Like, a person who is raped, they have trust issues for the rest of their lives. They can't get close to other people. I mean, it is essentially you are raping their ability to trust other human beings, and that is terrible. That is you are condemning them for life from that. And that's how people don't see it like that. They just think, well, you know, she'll get over it. No, some people really don't. You know, it's just that simple. That's what fucking annoys me. And just the fact, the gall of them excommunicating doctors who risked, you know, like their reputation, going to jail, all these things, just, you know, to perform that on that little girl, to let her have a normal life, or as normal as you can get when you've been sexually abused for 3 years and got pregnant from that bastard. I mean, like, I can't even imagine how she she'll be able to. Hopefully she will. Now she has a better chance. Mm. I mean, all of these guys were excommunicated. One of them said that actually he was glad because it brings to table that issue. You know, it really does put that divide between people who say, yeah, you were right in excommunicating them, and other people saying, what the fuck are you doing, man? That ain't right. That ain't right. And that's what I'm glad when shit like that starts to happen. That's why the Catholic Church always makes the news. They're always drawing the battle lines, and every time they do, we can see how unreasonable they are and say, we don't need you anymore. You guys are archaic. You guys are evil. You guys are corrupt. Get out of our lives. We just really don't need a bunch of molesting sons of bitches telling us how to live our lives, preventing people from having condoms in Africa, preventing people from fucking having abortions. Get out of my face! That's all I got to say. You did what you said.
I gave you some definite props on that, because you're right. Every time they draw those battle lines, it's always very amusing.
They're so good at it.
They think they've got it to a certain point, and they always put the line like a couple feet over, or not even a couple feet over, like a mile over, like on the gays issue and on the child molesting issue. And it's crazy, because you get the feeling that Pope John Paul had it right, where he kind of understood, this whole molestation thing is going to get bad. But the new guy, Ratzinger, is just... he doesn't seem to get it at all.
No, what do you mean he doesn't get it? This was the same man who published a study, a secret study and a secret memo to all cardinals saying that they had to keep that shit under wraps. They were not to discuss that, and they were to continue their policy of hiding the fact that priests were molesting kids.
Yeah.
This is not just a man who says sort of like, I don't know what to do about it. He knew what to do about it. Hide that.
Agreed, but I'm just saying that he doesn't seem to realize how badly this can bring down the church.
Well, imagine. Okay, the church got a big blow when it supported and helped the Nazis, right? That was one of those things that they had to apologize for. Now, how many issues are you on the wrong side of history, man? How many? I don't even know. Like, they're slowly sowing the seeds of their own destruction. They don't even know it. I'm like, you know what? In 20 years, when people look back at everything you did, that is it for you. I hope you guys enjoy your ride, you know? Like, the waning power of your church will suddenly create this desperation within your own rank and file. And every single one of you that has, skeletons in their closet is going to expose the other one, trying to save themselves. The rats will leave the fucking sinking ship. This I promise you.